I'd like to say I appreciate the opportunity to be back this way at Hilltop once again. It's a lot of memories to think back on, and a lot of cherished memories. And there's some years that's went by, but I'm thankful that to find that the good news I hear and that you all still serving the Lord, and I thank God for that. This church has been a great deal of a help to me throughout the years, and I appreciate that so much. Brother Marty, I had the opportunity to work with him for the first time, well, really ever, in revival, and just had a big time working with him. And him and they sung that song over there one night. And there's a few songs that speaks to you a little bit along, you know. But that song really spoke to me. Because a lot of times I find that there's an Isaac standing in my way. And each and every time that I stand, I've got to try to lay that Isaac down. I've got to try to make sure that it's me and the Lord that's hooked up. That's the way I want it each and every time. So I come the same way tonight, standing in need of your prayers. I don't bring anything new to you. But I want you to listen a little bit tonight. And if you would, I've had a thought, and several of you probably have read this, but I kindly got a thought off of this one night and heard it kind of related to in another message, and it kindly spoke to me a little bit. And I've just been waiting on the Lord to give me the opportunity to preach on it. But we're going to take some reading from 1 Kings tonight in the 10th chapter. And you would, I'd just ask you to listen. Like I said, I want you to hear the word tonight. If you're here and you're lost, that's the thing. I come this way and I don't know anybody's heart. I don't know anybody's heart but mine. I know what God done for me. And I know that it's real. I know that He lives. And tonight I might ask you, if you don't know Him, that you might listen not only with your ears but with your heart. And that you might make you an altar somewheres. That's our desire. I want, like Brother Jeff said, I want to see people saved. Not that I can walk around and say, well, look what I've done, but that God might have the honor and glory. I want His name to be lifted up. I want people to say, look what God done. That's what I want. So tonight, if you would, turn with us to 1 Kings in the 10th chapter. Do pray for us for just a little while. It says, and when the king of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and with very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her her questions. And there was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his secret and his ascents by which he had went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said unto the king, it is a true report that I have heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believe not the words until I came, and my eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told to me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I have heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. And I want to stop there for just a moment. And with the Lord's help, I want to read just a piece of scripture that talks about over here, about in the third chapter. It says about Solomon. It says, behold, I have done according to thy works, and lo, I have given thee wisdom and understanding heart, and so there is none like unto thee before thee, neither after shall any rise like unto thee. And I want to stop there with the mistakes that we've made reading. Solomon was a great king of Israel. No doubt he was a wise man. Whenever he had went to the Lord and began to talk things over with the Lord, and he didn't go asking for riches and fame. But the Lord, he went to him asking him for understanding and wisdom, that the Lord might give him understanding, that he might be able to lead Israel in the right ways, that God might be pleased with him. And God give him that, a heart of understanding and a heart of wisdom. Now, no doubt, that word began to spread. It began to spread far out that he was wise. I can't even begin to remember. It says how many proverbs he knowed, how many songs he knowed. I believe it accounted as knowing somewhere around 1,005 songs. He was very knowledgeable, and his knowledge began to spread throughout the country, throughout great distances. Now, there's not a whole lot that we know about this Queen Sheba, but she traveled, it said, a great distance, no doubt. She was a queen of a land, and she traveled a great distance. And it says that she came to Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, for she had questions. She wanted some answers about some things. And she came to the one that she thought that she could help her. Now it says whenever she had came there concerning her questions, that there was not anything hid from the king which he had told her not. It said, and when the king, when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, the house that he had built. And it began to describe the many things that she had seen. And I want to go over here real quick before I forget. And in Matthew, and I'll get to my point just here in a minute. Just bear with us. In the 12th chapter here of Matthew. Let me find my place. In the 12th chapter of Matthew. It says there a little bit earlier that the Pharisees began to ask, give us a sign. Give us something that we'll be able to know that you who are, that you say that you who you are. We want to know. And he began to say there in the 12th chapter and the 38th verse, he says, then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto him, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was there 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And I want to stop there with the mistakes that we made reading. Tonight I began to think about and ponder a little bit about in our study about people's all time trying to figure salvation out. They're all time trying to figure it out. We've got a great amount of people that are a whole lot smarter than me. You've got little children now that know a great deal when it comes to education. And all of those things is great. No doubt Solomon was a wise man. He was educated. And Sheba had come to him that she might try to dig into him a little bit. She had questions. Now I want you to understand something tonight, young people or whoever might be here. You can't figure out salvation. It ain't something with a mental mind that you can just sit down and try to figure out. It isn't something tonight that you can sit down and try to decipher. Salvation works through the heart. See, it's a heart work. It isn't something that you can just mentally sit down and say, well, I believe I'm going to try to settle this out. I know the people that's been trying to seek and search the Lord out for many, many years. And a whole lot of them are super, really knowledgeable people. They're real smart. And they're all trying to figure things out. This Queen of Sheba, she had come here to Solomon because she had questions. She had traveled, no doubt, a great distance. no doubt had to endure great hardships. And that time, when you traveled a great distance, it ain't like getting in your automobile and traveling up and down the road nowadays. Those people had to suffer hard conditions. Now I want you to know when we come to the house of God, we've got amenities as far as cars and automobiles and all of those things. But I want you to know you don't have to travel a great distance now to get to the Lord. He's right here. He's always around. You don't have to travel a great distance to go try to figure out some kind of question. Maybe tonight you've got concerns about where you stand with God. And all you've got to do is go to Him. There's a great amount of people in this world that just don't know where they stand. And a lot of them don't want to know where they stand. They're afraid to go and ask God, Lord, where do I stand? Now, if you're here and you're not lost, then I believe you know that you're not lost. But if God has revealed it to you, He's put it in your heart, He's condemned you, then you know already if you're lost and separated from Him. Listen, it ain't for me to tell you whether or not you're lost. God has revealed it to you if you're lost and separated from Him. You've got to be willing to go to Him. This Queen of Sheba, she had questions. She wanted to know. Listen, do you have questions? Do you want to know? If you're lost and separated from God, it's time that you go to Him and settle up the matter. He's there. He wants to save today, don't He? He says, I stand at the door and knock. He's there. He says, come unto me. Come. I want you to be saved. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's came to save. But as it was said earlier, He's not going to drag you to an altar of repentance. He's not going to force you to repent and to believe. He's not going to do that. But if you've got questions tonight concerning where you stand with Him, it's an opportunity tonight to settle up. It says that she went to Him. She began to see all the things that He had. It said all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God. Excuse me. Yeah. Let me go back. It says that she's seen all the meat of His table and the setting of His servants, the attendance of His ministers. She's seen everything. Everything that Solomon had, she's seen it. Do you see everything? Listen, church, are we letting our joys shine out? Are we letting people know about what God has done for us? Are we letting our light shine before men? I'm talking about me. Listen, are we going out in the world? Are we laying our Isaac down enough that people can see that there's something in our heart? Can they see the abundance that we have? Can they see everything that we've got? No, I don't have a lot of material things. But honey, God give me something down in here that's worth more than anything else. There ain't enough money that can buy what God has done for me. And I wasn't but just a 10-year-old little boy when God saved my soul, but it's sufficient for me. I ain't never went looking for nothing else. I ain't never had to go searching for anything else because what God done for me that night, it was real for me. And it's endured for me. And that's what I'm counting on one day after a while to take me home. It ain't nothing nobody else has done for me. Are we letting them see the abundance that God has given us? It says, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my land of the acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told to me. The wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. And that's where our thought come from. My friend, tonight I can promise you in my weak way, you've not heard the half of what God has in store. There is no way that I can preach to you tonight the glory of God. There's no way. There's no way in my weak way that I can show you just how good God is. There's no way I can show you just how rich that He can make you. The half hasn't even been told. John said, this book couldn't contain everything that he's doing. There ain't enough space in it to contain everything that Jesus Christ has done. There ain't enough space in it. Tonight, I want you to understand something. When I sat down and studied this out, I seen this woman who had went a great distance to have questions answered. Tonight, are you willing to go the distance? Maybe tonight, you don't want your questions answered. Maybe you want to sit there in your same old condition, bearing the load that you're bearing of sin. And honey, I feel in my heart I want to see you saved. But until you've got a desire to want to be saved, honey, you ain't going to get there. It comes down between you and the Lord. You might say, well, Brother Casey, he didn't preach that good tonight. Listen, none of that's going to matter when you stand before an almighty God and you answer to Him. None of that's going to matter. Ain't nobody going to be able to take your place. Won't nobody be able to say it was his fault or their fault or nobody else. It'll be your fault. That's it. It'll be your fault. It ain't God's fault. It's your fault. It ain't no shame in being a sinner. The shame comes in not doing nothing about it. Amen. Everybody here wants to see lost people saved. But until you get willing to go to Him and to repent, honey, you won't ever get there. I don't mean to be harsh about it, and I don't mean to be mean. But there's no way I can portray to you the glory of God. I can't even begin to tell you the half of everything that He's done for me in my life, let alone the half of everything He's done in everybody else's life. That He's a God of love. That He wants to save. My friend, tonight, I beg you. I'll make a statement here, and I'm about done. When it talked about Bathsheba over here, that she would stand as a... says that she would stand before the judgment. She's a testament about what God has done. What about you? Are you a testament? Do you know what it feels like to be saved? Do you know what it feels like to be born again? If He was to come tomorrow, would you know? Is there fear in your heart? I can tell you today, there's no fear in my heart. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what'll happen when we leave this place. I don't even know really and truly if I'll ever see y'all again here at Hilltop. Me and Jessica was talking on the way up here and she said, reckon how long it's been since you've preached over there? I said, I don't know. 3 or 4 years, I guess. We don't ever know what tomorrow holds. But I'm thankful to know that I got a better place to go. And sinner friend, until you start to take this serious, you won't ever get there. This right here is serious business. And you might lie to me. You might lie to Brother Jeff. You might lie to Mom and Daddy. You might deceive everybody around you. But if you're lost and separated from God, there's one that knows, and you cannot lie to Him. You can't hide it. He knows. So won't you come tonight? If God's dealing with you, won't you come? I'll beg you. Come find out. Come see about the half that's not been told. Come see about the one that was greater than Solomon. Jesus Christ. Solomon was great, but he didn't hold a candlestick to Jesus Christ. Come see about him. Won't you come tonight? Brother, if you'd get us a song.